That's awesome. Thank you, Brother Bingham, for that. That's special. Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Luke. I'm going to push this out of the way. Am I on here? Am I good? Okay. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke in chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Thank you, Brother Brandon, for doing Sunday school this morning. One thing y'all may not know about me is I'm not much of a teacher. I kind of struggle with teaching people things and stuff. You know, when I'm at work and I'm doing stuff and there's a new guy and he's with me, sometimes it's hard for me to teach him. You know, I like to go off and I get more done when I'm by myself, I feel like, and just being in my own corner, you know, doing flooring, trim, whatever, you know, just doing my own little thing. But, you know, Sunday school is a little bit of a trick for me to, because Sunday school is kind of a time of teaching, you know, and to instilling you more of the Bible, and pastors going through the book of Proverbs, doing a great job on that, on wisdom, and just walking people through it. And he's got that ability. Maybe I'll get it one day, but, you know, I just struggle with that. But him and my mom are gone. They took the motorcycle down to Texas for the weekend for a little bit to get away. He didn't tell me, well, I think he did tell me where, but I forget. But he's a smart man for not telling me. They just get away for a little bit. And so be in prayer for them, too, as they travel and they travel back. He should be back by Wednesday night, so just be in prayer for them. It's funny because when we were growing up as kids, my older brother, Taylor, he always begged Dad, hey, I want to get a motorcycle. I want a motorcycle, you know. I want. Taylor was the crazy one of the bunch, you know. He wanted to go out and do crazy things. And I just kind of followed behind him, you know, him being the older brother. But he wanted a motorcycle. My dad's like, no, you're not getting a motorcycle. That was set in stone. My dad said, no, you are not getting a motorcycle. And, you know, 18-year-old boy, who knows what he would do with that thing. But but then we get older, and I come back here, and my dad's got a gold Honda Goldwing sitting over there. And I'm like, man, you've changed. Hopefully you haven't changed your standards either. Is the church still more Baptist, or is it? No. And Matthew had one too, and I was like, man. Of course, the baby of the family's got to get what he wants. So, no. But just be in prayer for them as they're traveling there, and as they're doing that, be in prayer as they come back. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. And we'll start reading there in verse 32. Luke chapter 24, verse 32, it says, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread." I want to talk about that one verse in chapter 24, verse 32. It says, "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Let's go ahead and pray before we begin today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for giving us another week, Lord God, where we can serve you and we can come here to church, Lord God, another day where we can come here and worship you and serve you and live for you, and for just giving us breath to wake up this morning and to be alive, Lord God, is a blessing in itself. And Lord God, we're so thankful for your mercy and for your grace and for everything that you've given to us, Lord. Each and every day we take so much stuff for granted, Lord, that you've given to us. And Lord God, I just ask and I pray that you would be with all the prayer requests and all the needs of the people today, and bless them, Lord God. Is there there may be someone in here today who's not saved. I pray, Lord God, that you would help them, Lord, open their ears and help them to receive you as their personal Savior. And Lord God, I pray and I ask lastly today that you would help these people not to hear from me, but to hear from you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In this chapter, in Luke chapter 24 and in verse 32, the disciples are here, and this is right after Jesus has been crucified on the cross. He's died, and then he has been resurrected from the grave, and he is out of the tomb. He's not dead anymore, and he's been resurrected. And the disciples are here talking, and they're saying, hey, guys, you know, when Jesus was here, we did all this stuff. When Jesus was here, he was with us. We believed in him. We've seen the miracles that he's done. We've seen the things that he's walked on water, and how he healed the lame man, and he caused the blind to see, and he turned the water into wine, and he did all these miracles when he was here, but now he's gone. And then when Jesus was here, when he was here, it says there in verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? See, when Jesus was here, we had a desire to serve him. When Jesus was here, we saw all the things and all the miracles that he's done. But that's not faith. Faith is seeing something that, faith is believing in something that you can't see. Faith is these disciples, while Jesus has told them, he said, I'm going to rise again. But they didn't have faith to say, oh, yes, Jesus has risen again. At this moment in time when Jesus, he died and then he rose again, they weren't having the faith that Jesus is actually risen. After their, I can imagine, you know, if you were living in the same time as them, if I was too, if I was a disciple, and I saw the man who healed people, and I saw the man who actually walked on water, and I saw that, and then I saw him being crucified on a cross, and him thrown in a tomb, and seeing his body just lay there, I would probably feel pretty hopeless inside. I would probably feel downhearted. I would probably feel discouraged and say, wow, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is dead in the tomb. But Jesus told them that he would arise again 3 days later. Jesus told them these things, and they said, hey guys, when Jesus was here, our hearts burned within us. When Jesus was here, we saw him walk on the water. We saw him all these miracles, but now he's gone. Now he's gone. What happened to that fire that was within us when Jesus was here? What happened to that? Our hearts were burning aflame. We were seeing people saved. We were helping Jesus out, doing whatever he could. And we were feeding the 5,000, and we were doing all these things when Jesus was here. But now he's gone, and our hearts, our flame has been put out. It's been put out by the world. It's been put out by the devil. It's been put out by the flesh. And by the way, Christian Day, when Jesus died on that cross and he died, the devil thought he won. Those 3 days, the devil thought he had us. He had us in his grasp. The devil thought he had you. He said, guess what? I'm going to win. But then on that third day, when Jesus rose again, the devil lost all hope. He lost all power. You say, why is the devil attacking me today? Why is there so much turmoil going on in the world today? Why is there so much wars and fighting? Why is there so much evilness around us and adulterers and fornicators and liars and all these people around us, and it's just wickedness all around me? It's because the devil knows there's coming a day when he's going to burn in hell forever. And he doesn't always get a chance to be here on earth to tell you to do wrong. You see, the devil knows that he's going to hell. The devil knows that there's coming a day where he's going to be locked up for forever and ever and ever and ever, and it will never, ever end. The devil knows that. And the reason why there's so much turmoil and so much chaos in our world today is because he's working overtime to cause that. And he wants to take you to hell with him. He wants to take you to go with him. He wants you to do wrong. He wants you to live a wicked life. But don't be that Christian that said, oh, I used to. I used to go to church. I used to go to soul winning, but you know, I just never saw someone saved. No, you don't see someone saved. God is the one who saves them. Your job is just supposed to go and tell them. That's all you're supposed to do. You're just the messenger. God is the one who pricks their heart and who gets them saved. Don't ever be a Christian who said, I used to do that. Oh, I used to go to church. I used to read my Bible. I used to pray. I used to do all those things. But, you know, I just never felt no God. Just never felt nothing. You know, just, you know, never felt anything. And that's probably the state that maybe these disciples were in right now. Oh, Jesus is dead. He's gone. There's no hope for us now. But just before this, Jesus arose from the grave. Just before they were saying this, Jesus came to them in spirit. And they saw him and they were afraid. But then they believed. As you look down through this chapter and you read the rest of these verses, and I don't have time to go into it, but there was something that the disciples lost that that day. Or maybe during while Jesus was dead, those 3 days. There's something that they lost, and they lost their excitement about the Word of God. They lost their excitement about Jesus Christ. I don't ever want to be a Christian today who loses my excitement about the Bible. I don't ever want to be a Christian today who loses my excitement about church and going to church, bringing my kids to church, doing all those things. And I want to preach to you on that subject today, is the subject of lost excitement. Don't ever be a Christian who loses their excitement. Maybe you're not saved in here today. Maybe you've gone through some trials. Maybe you've gone through some problems. But don't be that person today who loses their excitement about the things of God. Don't be like the disciples who say, well, you know, when Jesus was here, we did all this and this, but now he's dead and gone, so I guess we're just going to live our life the rest of the way. No, Christian, that's not it. Don't be like that. Don't lose your excitement for the things of God. Your excitement for the things of God is what will last. Our churches have lost their excitement for the things of God today. They've lost their excitement for soul winning. We've lost our excitement for praying. We've lost our excitement for the Bible reading of God. We've lost our excitement for seeing someone come down to an old-fashioned altar and get saved. We've lost our excitement. I'm so glad that someone came and told me about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that Jesus lives inside me. I'm so glad that there was a person who said, hey, I know you're a sinner, and I want to tell you the truth, that Jesus loves you and Jesus cares for you, and he died for you. I'm so glad that there was someone who would tell me. But there's sometimes we get in our own selfish way, and we don't want to tell someone else about it. Every Christian knows what I'm talking about in here today. When you walk to the store, when you're talking to someone, and it just goes over and over in your head, witness to them. Witness to them. Give them a track. Give them a track. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them where you go to church. And you know it. Every Christian knows it. It cycles through. The Holy Spirit tells you about it. But what I'm telling you today is don't lose your excitement about the things of God. America has lost its excitement for the things of God. Back when those men signed on the Declaration of Independence and they signed the Constitution, those men fasted and prayed before they started this country. Those men got on their knees and they prayed to God before they started the United States of America. Hey, let me tell you what America's greatness is today. America's greatness is not in the wealth. America's greatness is not in what all the materials that they have. America's greatness is not in how many businessmen we can get and how much money we can get and how much stuff we can put in our can and how much stuff we can do here. No, America's wealth and greatness, the best nation in the whole wide world, all starts in 1776 when those men of God got on their knees and they prayed. And we were going to be a nation that is founded upon God's word. What does it say on your coin there? In God we trust. Why does it say that? Because those men wanted to put that on that coin to remind everyone, in God we trust. China's not the greatest nation today. Russia's not the greatest nation today. Ukraine's not the greatest nation today. Africa is not the greatest country today. The number one greatest country in the world today is America, and it's not because of their wealth. It's not because of the things that they've gotten. It's not because of what they can do or we have the greatest athletes. That's not where we get the greatest country in the world today. It's the greatest country in the world today was because it was founded upon God's word, and God has blessed us tremendously. Amen. But the problem with America today is we've lost it. It's been thrown out. We don't care about going to church on Sundays. We don't care about going to church on Wednesdays. We want to work Monday through Sunday, and we want to pay all our bills and pay all our houses, have zero time for God, and that's what we want to do. The devil is blinding your mind. If that's you today, the devil has got your mind in a trance, and all you have is tunnel vision. There is no time for God. God wants us to make time where we sit down and we just talk with him. Where we sit down, and during your week, and I know I'm not saying work is bad. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that there needs to be a set time where you sit down and you just talk to God. You walk with God. You pray with God. You talk to him. Tell him your needs. Tell him others' needs. But America today, our churches today have lost that. We've lost it about soul winning. There's no need, there's no rush about saving someone from hell, but there's such a rush to go to a football game on Saturday. There's so much of a rush to get to the game early on Sunday and be there 2 hours early so we can get the best seats. But when you come to church, you show up 30 minutes late. That's where our country's headed down the road today. When our country was founded upon the Bible and founded upon God, and the thing that works, it just proves the Bible's real right there. But America has lost it today. And just like I said before, the devil is working its overtime. He wants America to lose it. The nation of Israel, founded on God. The Jews. Jesus was in Jerusalem. Jesus was in Judea. All of it. But most of those Jews don't believe he's the Messiah. They've lost it. They've lost their excitement. They say, oh yeah, that was back then. That was 2,000 years ago. That's all past and gone. No, God's word still stands. Amen. Just like Brother Brandon said earlier in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's not one verse in this Bible that you can come to me and tell me, oh, that verse is wrong. That contradicts the Bible. I talk to a coworker friend. He's an atheist all the time. And he comes to me every week with a new verse. I'm not joking with you. New verse. Look at this verse. This is wrong right here. And I tell him, I say, okay, I'll get back with you on that, and I'll let you know, and I'll explain it out tomorrow. And, you know, I'll come to him, and I'll explain it to him, and I'll tell him, and I'll lay it all out, and I'll say, this is what it says, this is what it means. But he still doesn't listen. The devil has got his mind in a tunnel vision. Don't let the devil do that to you today. Don't get in such a tunnel vision where you're focused on work and you're focused on just doing this one thing, and I got to get this done, and I got to do this. But God's left back here on the back shelf. And God, whenever you need him, that's when you grab him and say, oh my goodness, my child has cancer. Now I need you, God. Oh my goodness, I need some money now. God, God, come here, I need you now. No, God needs to be right here with you all the time. If you're a Christian, God's promised that to you. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is always with you. But make sure that you are with God. Amen. God is always right there, but you've got to be with God. Don't lose your excitement. Don't have that burning heart. I love seeing people saved. I love seeing people come to know to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, the number one thing that fires me up that fires me up about people getting saved is that I know that they were bound for hell. Now they're not anymore. Amen. That they could have died in an eternal flame of fire. That they could have been put in an eternal flame of fire with the devil for the rest of his life, where it is pitch black. There is no God. There is nothing there that they can see. There is just people screaming around them. And that's what gets me fired up, is because they were once bound for that devilish place, but now they're going to heaven to live with Jesus for forever. Amen. That's what gets me fired up when someone gets saved. Sometimes, and you may call me crazy, you may say I'm weird, but when someone gets saved, I'll go home, or I'll go home to my back porch, and I'll just shout, hallelujah! Praise the Lord, someone was bound for hell, now they're on their way to heaven. Amen. That's the greatest joy that anyone could experience. What's taking your joy away today? What's taking it away? Is it financial problems? Is it work issues? Is it family issues? Is it sickness? Is it, what is it today? But your joy and your strength should always be the Lord Jesus Christ. You can rest on this one promise. If you say, I've had the worst day of my life, my dogs died, my cars broke down, I couldn't make it to work, I got fired, I can't pay my bills on time, the IRS is after me. Oh man, I don't want that. That's. But you can say, I've had the worst day of my life. But there's one thing that you have, if you're a Christian, that most of the world doesn't have, is that you know that you're going to heaven when you die. And by the way, Christian, you may say, oh, I don't have much, and I'm not blessed, and I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I don't have what he has, and man, it just, I have nothing. Hey, the fact that you have clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, you have two eyeballs, you have two ears, You've got two nostrils to breathe in air. You've got lungs that can breathe in air. You've got food on your table. How many of y'all drove a car here this morning? Or you rode in a car? That's basically 100% of us that drove in a car or a scooter, whatever you drove. I don't know, motorcycle. But you have more of what 90% of this world does not have. I've been to Africa. I've seen the people over there. They have absolutely nothing. I'm not kidding you. The boys have a pair of shorts and that's it. They don't have a house. They just find somewhere in the night to just sleep in. Don't care about the predators around them in Africa that roam the streets all the time. Their cities are full of dirt and filth, trash everywhere. People not sanitary, washing their hands or anything like that. You get a hole in the ground as your toilet. That's where you have to use the restroom. There's no door either that you can have privacy when you use the restroom. Hey, we've got it good here in America. But the problem is, or the reason is why we have it so good is because there were some men at the beginning who didn't lose their excitement. You see, it was 1,700 years after Jesus had died and gone and buried. But they still said, we want to put on that coin, in God we trust. They still said, we're going to fast and pray because we want this nation to be blessed by God. The reason why America is number one nation in the world today is not because of its wealth. We're in a tremendous debt crisis. Trillions of dollars we owe to someone else, and we keep spending money left and right, which is not biblical, not right. But that's not why we're the greatest country in the world. We're not the greatest country in the world because we have the biggest infrastructures and the biggest, oh, we've got the biggest cities and the best this and the best cars and the best that. No, the reason why we are the best country in the world today is because those men didn't lose their excitement about the things of God. What happened to old-fashioned preaching? What happened to old-fashioned revival meetings? We can still have that nowadays. We serve the same God that they served. We can still do that nowadays. But the problem is with America, and the problem is with our churches today, is that we have lost our excitement for the things of God. When you stand before God someday, that just like that hymnal said, I wish I had given him more. Yeah. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, you're going to wish you had done more for Jesus. Don't lose that excitement. Don't lose that fire, what the disciples had in their soul when Jesus was alive. I was once a sinner in a courtroom, bound for hell. I walked in the back door of that courtroom. I was the defendant. The prosecutor was the devil on the other side of that courtroom. And the judge came in and he waved his gavel and said, hear ye, all ye people, listen. And he says to the devil, he says, bring up the evidence of what you have against Titus Larson. Bring up the evidence, the crimes that he's done. And the devil pulls out his long, probably miles long, of all that sin, all that record, all of that guilt, all of that shame, all those lies that I've told, all those wrong things that I've done. And the judge looks at me and he looks at all that and he reads it one by one. And he looks at me and he says, so, do you have anything to say for what you've done? Do you have anything to say for all these crimes that you've committed? And I sit there speechless because there's nothing. There's no excuse for my sin. There's no excuse for your sin either. But I'm so glad on that day that there was a man in that audience who stood up and he said, I'm going to die for him. I want to take Titus Larson's place. I want to take Brother Jeremy's place. I want to take Brother Quentin's place. I want to take Brother Ben's place. I will stand there. I will do it. I will die on the cross for his sin. And when he died on the cross, all of the weight of the sins of the world were put upon him. And that that day as I stood there before the judge should have said, "You're condemned to hell. That's what you deserve." But I'm so thankful that there was Jesus who died on the cross for me. And he didn't just die for me. He died for you. He didn't just die for a certain elect. He died for the whole world.
Amen.
Don't let anyone ever tell you that he died for this amount of people, or he died for the rich, or he died for the poor, or he died for that person. Calvinism ain't real. God died in John 3:16 for the whole wide world.
Amen.
He died for everyone, for whosoever. That's anyone. But I'm so glad on that day that I don't ever want to lose my excitement for the things of God. I'm so glad that on that Easter Sunday, I knelt there, I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, and from thence on, my sins are forgiven. I'm not bound to hell. I get to go to heaven. I get a mansion. I get a crown of life. I get to walk on streets of gold. And there's nothing better than that that I could ever imagine of today. You may be a Christian here today, and you may have gone through some heartaches. Yeah, we're all going to go through them. You may have had the worst day of your life, like I said before, the worst week of your life. But you can rely on that one fact that you are not bound to a place called hell.
Amen.
You know, hell is a place where God is not even there. The creator of the universe, the creator of you, is not even there. The guy who sent his son, I shouldn't just call him a guy, I saw him, our Lord and Savior who sent his son to die on the cross for your sin, that guy is not there anymore. And I'm telling you today, if you're not saved today, you're headed to a place called hell. And I'm telling you that out of the loving kindness of my heart. I don't want anyone to go to hell. God died for everyone, but you've got to accept him. I can't force you to accept him. I can't do anything to, you can't work your way there. You can't be baptized to get there. In Titus 3:5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a promise of God, Christian. You're going to heaven. You're not going to hell. You're not bound to those chains of that prison that you could have gone to. When that judge, when you stood as the defendant in that court, and the devil put the prosecutor to you, and he said, "Look at all these things that he's done." But if you're a Christian today, you can say, "Hey, I know I'm saved. Jesus Christ has died for me, and there was a man in that room who took my place. He took that jail cell for me that I should have gone to, I should have been in." But don't ever lose your excitement about that, Christian, today. Don't go to work sad-faced. Yeah, I'm saved. There's coming a day when the people that you saw saved are going to run up to you and say, "I'm so thankful you told me about Jesus Christ." They're going to look down and see hell and all the horrors of it and all the people being cast into that lake of fire. And they're going to say, "I am so thankful that you told me." But the problem is with us Christians is we get so tunnel vision. We want work. We got school. We've got this or that. The game's going on. This time, that time. We got this. And we all get busy. And I'm not saying work is bad or those things are bad. But what I'm saying is don't lose your excitement about reading your Bible. Don't lose your excitement about prayer. Don't lose that excitement, because there's coming a day when it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. You see, I was that sinner that Jesus took from the bottom and the lowly pits of hell. And he brought me up, and he took me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a solid rock. And my whole family, I could be like Job today. I could have boils from the head to my toes. I could be like Job today and have his kids all die in one day, in a second. I could be like Job today and have all of my wealth taken away from me, have my house destroyed, have my cars gone, have everything gone, and just have the clothes on my back and the boils on my hands and to my feet to comfort me. That's what I could have today. But you know something about Job that got him going was he didn't lose his excitement. He didn't say, "Oh, I give up. God's done bad to me. Look what God's done to me." No, it's actually not what God did to him. It was the devil did that to him. And God allowed it, put him through testing times. And you want to know what happened to Job after all that? He was blessed. He was blessed. Sometimes us Christians want to see the now picture. What's happening to me now? And oh, poor me. Hey, if you're saved today, you're on your way to heaven. You're going to a place of streets of gold. You get a mansion. You've just got a little while, a little vapor on this earth to live for Jesus Christ. Don't waste it. Don't waste it away to the world. Don't waste it away to be a drunk on the street. Dr. Jack Hiles was, his dad was a drunk, the neighborhood drunk. And he would come home and he would watch his dad beat his mom and his dad do some horrible things as a neighborhood drunk. And the whole neighborhood knew it. But his mom took him to church. It was his mom who took him to church. She took him there. And he met a Sunday school teacher there. And that Sunday school teacher took Brother Jack Hiles and she set him on her lap. And she told him, she said, "You know what, Brother Hiles?" She called him, I think it was Jackie Boy Hiles or something like that. But she said, "You know what, Jack? God loves you. God loves you, Jack. And you know, out of all the boys and the girls of this room," and he said, Brother Jack Hiles said, "I walked in that room. I didn't have any shoes on. We were a poor family. We didn't have any of those things." And he would look around at all the people who had, you know, the girls had fancy dresses and the guys had suits and ties. But that one Sunday school teacher, that one junior church teacher took him, put him on her lap and told him, "Hey, out of all the boys and the girls of this room, Jesus loves you the most." Little Jack Hiles. How could God so love some him as someone who's just so little and frail and not have much? It's because of his love towards everyone. It's because Jesus died for everyone. Don't lose your excitement. Brother Hiles grew up and he became a preacher. And by the way, you mothers, don't think that you can't raise your children on your own. Maybe your husband's gone away. Maybe your husband's, your wife's gone away, vice versa, whatever it is. But don't think you can't, "Oh, well, my husband's gone. I can't bring my child to church. I can't teach them in the admonition of the Lord because all this is going on." No, you can do it. You can do it. Brother Howell's mom did it. He led thousands of people to Christ. Hundreds of people. Started the bus ministry at First Baptist Church. Had 60 buses running back and forth to Chicago, bringing people there and back. But it was all because of his mom. She didn't lose that excitement about the things of God. And she passed it upon to Jack Hiles, and he found that excitement. And he didn't lose that excitement. Same with many other preachers that I could talk to you about. And the list could go on and on. Dwight L. Moody and all these people. Don't lose your excitement. There's a man named Horatio Spafford. Some of you all may have heard of him. But Horatio Spafford wrote a hymn. And he wrote that hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And some of you all may have not have heard the backstory of when he wrote that hymn. But the hymn was written after traumatic events in Spafford's life. The first was the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, which ruined him financially. He had been a successful lawyer and had invested significantly in property in the area of Chicago that was extensively damaged by the Great Fire. His business interests were further hit by the economic turndown of 1873, at which that he had planned to travel to England with his family to help with D.L. Moody's upcoming evangelistic campaigns. In a late change of plans, he sent his family ahead while he was delayed on business concerning zoning problems following the Great Chicago Fire. While crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship sank rapidly after a collision with the sea vessel, the Loch Earn, and all four of Spafford's daughters died. His wife, Anna, survived and sent him the now famous telegram, saved alone. Shortly afterwards, as Spafford traveled to meet his grieving wife, he was inspired to write these words on the ship, as the ship's near where his daughters had died. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Horatio Spafford didn't lose his excitement. He didn't lose the excitement that he knew he was going to heaven. And I don't know if his daughters were saved tonight, but he didn't lose his excitement when he crossed that sea as his daughters fell into the sea and they drowned and they died. He used the bad for good. And he wrote that famous hymnal, "It is well with my soul." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, whatever happens, whatever comes my way, whatever comes to me, it is going to be good for my soul. I'm not going to let the devil ruin my life because I know that there's a God. I know that my excitement is never going to be lost. Don't ever let the devil take your excitement away. Don't ever let the devil take your Saturday soul winning away from you. Don't ever let the devil or your friends or coworkers take that Sunday morning church away from you, that Sunday night church away from you. You say, "Well, I got to go watch the game." Fooey on the game. It's not going to matter. Someone's dying and going to hell. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget about the game. Throw it away. Throw it in the trash. If you got to throw your phone away, throw it in the trash. If you got to get a jitterbug, get one of those. Whatever you have in your life that's making you lose your excitement about the things of God, you have been blessed with clothes on your back. You have been blessed with children. You have been blessed with a husband. You have been blessed by just living in America today. You could be in China right now where they would kick you out or put you in jail for doing what I'm doing right here, right now. I'd be put in jail if I were saying this right now and I was standing in the streets of China. They would arrest me and put me in a jail right now. We don't know how good we have it. You could be like those soldiers on the front lines, those civilians in Israel who are getting blown to pieces by rockets. You don't know how good you have it in America. Yes, we may have some issues. Yeah, we've got some problems. But you're more blessed than 90% of this world as could ever even imagine to have. You own a car? You're more blessed than anyone in other countries. You have clothes on your back. You're more blessed than over half the population of the earth. You've got a wife or a husband. You've been blessed. You've got those things. You've got food on your table. You have been blessed. Don't lose that excitement about God. God has given you those things. God is what makes America great. It's God who does it. Not me, not what I can do. But I want to tell you tonight, when stuff comes your way, when peace like a river attendeth your way, when sorrows like sea billows roll your way, whatever your lot, thou hast taught me to say, let it be well with your soul. Horatio Spafford lost all four of his daughters on that ship as it sunk. But when he passed by that way, he knew in his heart that there was a God, and God was going to take care of him, and he wasn't going to let the devil bring him down. Horatio Spafford could have turned his back on God and said, "You know what, God, I hate you. You've done me wrong. You've put my four girls in the ocean. You've done me wrong." No. Preach a sermon. God, you don't know what's good for you. God knows what's good for you. Just like Brother Jeremy. Think of Brother Jeremy sitting in a jail cell. Already seen three people saved. You know what Jeremy has? You know, Brother Jeremy had a truck. He had a truck. He had tools. He was a great hard worker. He had clothes on his back. He had all this stuff. Life was going good for him. But you know what's got Brother Jeremy by the neck this morning? Is the fact that Jesus Christ is still alive and well, and that he hasn't lost his excitement for the Word of God and for the things of God, and he is not going to let that trial bring him down. That's what he's got in his life. He has purposed that. And yes, there's going to be hard days for you and for Billy Jeremy and me. Yes, there's going to be those times. But you've got a purpose in your heart that when trials and troubles and all this stuff comes, don't be like the disciples and say, oh, I used to go to church. Oh, my heart did burn, but now I'm just kind of lousing my way through life. And you know, my coworkers and I, we cuss sometimes. We do this, and I'm not raising my children right for the Lord. Don't lose that excitement. There's a reason why America is the greatest country in the world was because it was founded on Bible principles. Not because of all the wealth it has, like I said before, but it was founded on God's word. Men of God who love God and who wanted to do what's right. That right there is just evidence that the Bible is real and proof. China wasn't founded on God. Russia was not founded on God. There wasn't men who wrote a constitution, who fasted, who prayed, who were founded on God. But America was founded on God. They wanted to make sure that they did not lose their excitement for the things of God. How about it today, Christian? Have you lost your excitement? Have you lost it? Are you just going through the motions every single day of your week, going to work, going home, going to sleep, eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work? And God's just sitting behind you, just looking at you, waiting until a day, until a trial comes into your life, when he can actually stand up and say, oh, you need me? Oh, wow. Don't have tunnel vision. Let God be your friend. Hold him by the hand as you walk through this life. Take time. I remember Brother Crabtree, he preached a message, and it was a while ago. But I remember him giving this illustration. He took one of these chairs and he put it right here in the middle. And he preached a message on how sometimes we get so bothered with life and everything with the life that we don't stop and take time for God. We get so much in work and so much at this. We got to do this, got to do that, got to run here, run that. But we don't stop and just pull up a chair and open the Bible. Or we don't stop and just talk to God. And that's a sad thing that has been lost in our country nowadays and lost in our churches nowadays. It's that we need men of God. We need ladies of God who will get up, who will preach, tell the Bible. If you're a lady, you can teach the Bible. If you're a man, you can preach the Bible. You can tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Not sit there like a lump on a log and say, oh, why don't we just let everyone come into the church? We're not charismatics here, people. We don't just sit there and don't tell anyone about what Jesus has done for me and sit and soak in what we want. No, we're Baptist. We're supposed to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's commanded. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do. It's not about how I can get it. It's about others. But I want to challenge you with the fact today is don't lose your excitement for the things of God. It's very hard. It's very true that I believe that there may be a Christian here today that has lost his excitement for the things of God. He said, I used to have those standards. Brother Brocade taught on standards this morning. Standards is a great thing to have as a Christian. You know, me as a Christian, I don't go into a bar to witness to somebody. I don't do that. I stay away from that stuff. I can go walk down the street and witness to somebody. I can go to Walmart and witness to somebody, but I have that standard that I'm not going to go into that bar. That's just something you stay away from. But I challenge you and I encourage you today, let that fire be relit in your heart. Don't let it go out. Don't let the devil take it out. You know, that song is so true. Don't let Satan it out. And many of us sang that as little kids, but how true it is. Don't let Satan hide it under a bushel. No, that song is so true to us Christians nowadays. We go to work, we hide it. We come to church, we shine it. We go to the game, we hide it. Come to church, we shine it. And then one day the devil goes, and you ain't got it anymore. Don't be that Christian. I challenge you today. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes tonight, this morning. Maybe there's a Christian here who would say, Brother Titus, or maybe there's a lost one in here who would say, Brother Titus, I've never experienced that time where I've accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. I want to have that excitement that a Christian has and the joy that a Christian has. I want to go to heaven and not hell. You'd say, Brother Titus, there's never been a time when I've accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. I've never confessed my sins and asked him to come into my heart to save me and believed on him. I've never done that before. You say, Brother Titus, I want to do that today. Would you raise your hand? Say, I want to do that today. I'm going to pray for you. I'll pray for you. You can put your hands down. How many say, Brother Titus, I've experienced that joy, that satisfaction on knowing that I am bound for heaven, and I don't have to go spend 1 minute in hell because of what Jesus has done for me.